Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's OTAs. It's not necessarily time to panic, but there is something, there is a there somewhere with the CJ Stroud situation. It's not just, I think it's a little bit more than just a precaution. I think he's actually hurt.
Ooh.
That's the way it seems.
And did that change just in today? That feeling?
Or
did
you feel like that? I think it was fortified today. There was a sneaky suspicion, obviously, based off of what we saw last week or didn't see last week. And then based on today, I think it was fortified quite a bit. So yeah, you're out there, you're watching Slovis and Davis Mills do their thing, and CJ Stroud's out there. He's got his helmet on, which was different from Wednesday, at least.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his helmet on, but all he's doing is handoffs. And I keep coming back to this, Luke. These are not strenuous workouts and practices. They're not, I don't want to say they're not busting ass out there, but they're not. You know, it's OTAs. They're not going to the ground. Rarely do they do that anyway. That's a training camp thing. But they're not going to the ground. It's not a super strenuous workout. I just don't feel like what they're doing right now is demanding enough to where if he wasn't hurt, if he wasn't injured, that he wouldn't be out there. And then it just makes sense. He's the quarterback. It's a new offense. It's a remade offensive line. There's new terminology, new personnel. There's so much newness associated with the team, with the offense specifically, that you would think the captain, the leader of the ship, would be doing more if he could. And I absolutely think he would be doing more if he could. So that I think that tells you something.
I had a coach who always used to say there's a difference between hurt and injured.
Yeah. Right?
Like if you're hurt, just rub some dirt on it, get back out there. If you're injured, that's a different story. And so for CJ Stroud, I think my perception, and I think maybe most people, is like he's hurt, not injured. But the longer this lingers and maybe some of the non-answers we get as well, maybe that thought starts to change in the mind of some. You were there. You heard from DeMeco. Let's hear from the head coach of the Texans as well. DeMeco Ryans was asked about his quarterback, C.J. Stroud, not throwing. Here's what he said and didn't say.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask. First, CJ not throwing again. There's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. Really excited the way our guys are working and competing out at practice. When you see a good team, what excites me is you're seeing both sides make plays. Offense, defense, there's a lot of back and forth guys making plays. So really excited to see where our team are here in our second week of practicing. They're really growing, developing, taking the steps we need to take, and it's fun to watch.
For CJ, it'll be, like I said, he has general soreness, and we're just taking extra precaution with him. When he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. That's it for him. Like, it's general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
And let me just clarify this for the people that couldn't hear the questions, and since I was there, the second question was, would he be ready for training camp? Notice that you didn't get an answer of, yes, he'll be ready for training camp. And then the third question was, did he have some kind of procedure or surgery on the shoulder during the offseason? And you also did not get a definitive yes or no. Now, here's a question that I would like to know the answer to, but I don't think it would have been fair to ask D'Amico, because it would have felt like I was trying to either trap him or do a gotcha moment. And we're just not here for that necessarily. But when he says there's no concern, Luke, my question on that is, if there was concern, would you tell us? Right? Like, would you, if you were legitimately concerned the way some of the fan base is, the way some of the media is, would you admit it? Or would you just say there's no concern, even if there was one? I don't know the answer to that, but I suspect that the answer would be no, that they wouldn't say, hey, you know what? CJ's not throwing, his shoulder hurts or is injured, and we're concerned. Yeah. It's a problem, guys. Let's everybody panic. Like, they're not going to do that. So I don't know how much to read into they're not concerned. I want to say, oh, great, D'Amico's not concerned. Oh, great, Nick Haley's not concerned. Oh, great, the team's not concerned. But would they tell us if they were? I don't think so.
That's a fair point. I agree with you. I don't think so either. Because I was going to say, when you hear the no concern, that calms me. But then when you hear him dodging questions about off-season surgery, when the answer could just simply be, no, he didn't have any off-season procedures, and you put that to rest, those two things don't really jive for me, where that suddenly leads to concern when you're being a little shady, right? You're not being transparent. What are you hiding?
Avoidant.
Yeah, avoidant. That's a good term for it. And I said the same thing through this whole Yordan situation, even last year at Kyle Tucker, that, well, we talked about it yesterday, and you mentioned it before the show, that, you know, the cover-up's always worse than the crime. When you seem like you're hiding something, it makes it worse. It makes me more suspicious. And when you can't just simply answer that question and just say, no, he didn't have anything done, that makes me believe, A, something was done, and then B, that might lead to more concern, at least for me, if not the Texans.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't feel like anything nefarious is going on here in terms of them being avoidant. Like, I understand their standpoint, and I also think it's okay, and I mention this quite a bit whenever I'm on, that our interest and their interest are not the same, which means that it's okay if the relationship is sometimes a little bit adversarial, because they're motivated to not give you information in certain cases like this, and all we're in is the information, and then, you know, for us on the radio, also the entertainment business. So like, our interests are just different. You know, if I'm on their side, I'm probably playing the same game, or I'm probably towing the same party line as they are. So like, I don't think that there's anything necessarily, like, again, nefarious about this, but the avoidance does make you wonder and question, okay, soreness from what? Soreness from what action?
Yeah.
You know, we've got somebody on the text line right now that's pointing out from the 281, why is CJ sore? He's been off for 6 months, however many months it's actually been. He's been off for a while. What's he sore from?
Oh, no.
What happened? And we just don't have an answer to that. And it would make us feel bad, even though they don't necessarily owe us the full, transparent, absolute truth. You know, this isn't government. This isn't taxpayer dollar necessarily type of accountability. We would still feel a lot more comfortable if we got a better answer, something that was just a little bit more than, we're not going to rush him. Rush him from what? You know, like, we're being cautious. Cautious about what?
Yeah.
He's sore. Sore from what? That's the question.
Yeah, he's a 23-year-old that, like you said, hasn't thrown in 6 months. So everyone's pondering or wondering, okay, you tell us about this general soreness that is severe enough he can't throw for the entire week of OTAs, but what is leading to that? I'm old enough, when people ask how old are you, I can say I'm old enough that sometimes I wake up, I'm just sore from just sleeping.
Yeah.
But when I don't think that was happening when I was 23, and I certainly wasn't a professional athlete. So there are questions around that. And the dodging of the questions from D'Amico, it's like when you come home late at night or the next morning and your girlfriend asks you, you know, like, were you at the strip club last night? And your response is like, well, why would you ask me that?
Right.
Or you could just simply say, No, it wasn't.
Well, you'd be like, would I ask you that? Yeah, I don't ask you where you be going.
Yeah.
It's like, well, wait a minute, though. That's a yes. And this is just a general rule in our business, right? When you ask, and this is why they also train us and teach us to ask direct questions, mm-hmm. especially when you're looking for a direct answer. Ask direct questions and seek direct answers. They did a good job the press corps today of asking direct questions. And to be fair, and I love D'Amico just as much as anybody, to be fair, direct questions were asked and direct answers were not necessarily given, you know? Mm-hmm. And even before that, trying to get out in front of it, hey, before you guys ask, this is what I got to say about it.
Right.
And then when the direct questions get asked, you go back to the same thing that you said before, you know, instead of answering directly. So I think that is telling. What they're not saying is the silence is deafening in some ways.
Right. A lot of times the silence, it's louder than what they're actually are, what they are saying. And as I said yesterday, like, something isn't always everything, but everything is something, I think was the line. As we roll ahead and try to look forward, try to project this thing, do you have long-term concern, or is this just kind of an off-season thing? Once we get to towards the summer, you know, there's no reason to be worried about this. It's a short-term problem. Or do you think this is something that, and we're just doing it, we're not doctors, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but your best guess, do you think this could be a long-term concern?
Just specific to the injury, I feel like it's way too early to have a long-term concern about the injury. But where my long-term concern would come into play is just the, and I've talked about this when I was doing the morning show with Seth in previous days, it's the residual. It's the urgency of getting everything else around CJ Stroud right. So, like, if we get into the season and the offensive line has not shown the improvement that so many fans hope that it does, it's not clicking the way that you hope it does, it's going to be hard not to think back to the fact that CJ Stroud wasn't even healthy enough to throw at OTAs, and now you're not protecting them worth a damn, similar to the way that you were last year. And that's a nif. You know, it could come out that the offensive line turns out to be much improved, CJ Stroud is fine, and we all just roll. But if the things around, the infrastructure around him is not...
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Such that it's protecting him in ways that it did not last year, then yeah, I'm going to have long-term concerns about the overall viability and health of the quarterback, who, by the way, is going to be up for a contract extension by the end of this season.
You can text your opinion, 713-572-4610. Where are you on CJ Stroud? All sorts of texts already rolling in. And I do want to highlight this one from the 832 where he says, Astros PTSD is real, though. And I was going to bring this up as well at some point over these 4 hours that, to use another relationship metaphor or analogy, it's almost like when you start dating somebody and they hold their past partner's crimes against you.
Yep.
And that's almost similar here, where because of what Houston sports fans have dealt with the Astros, and look, the Texans aren't completely clean. We had the Christian Harris thing going on throughout last season that was somewhat similar to Kyle Tucker, even now Yordan, whatever. But mostly, the crimes have pertained to the Astros, and now the Texans are almost being held guilty of those same crimes. Do you think that some of this fear, consternation from Texans fans with CJ Stroud does stem from what we've been dealing with the Astros, that automatically makes you a little bit more worried or just untrusting?
Man, it's not even just the proximity of, or the Venn diagram of Texans fans and Astros fans by and large being the same people. Like, that's the proximity, right? But it's the timing, Luke. Okay, so first OTAs was what, Wednesday? What, I'm already forgetting. The first one was Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay, Yordan goes out there and does BP on Friday. On Saturday, okay, and by the way, also the Texans went back out there on Friday as well. Okay, so on the same day as Yordan is doing BP, the Texans are doing their second day of OTAs, and CJ Stroud again is not throwing. Meanwhile, Yordan is out there doing BP with a broken hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you don't find out until the next day that it's broken. So we're talking about Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. In a 4-day period here, you see your quarterback not throwing twice, And then you see your main slugger, your best player on your baseball team, taking BP one day, and, oh, it feels like he's close. Let's do lineup watch and see when Yordan's back in the lineup. And then the next day it's up. You know what? His hand's broken. So I just think there's a proximity issue of these being the same folks, and there's a timing issue of, man, you know what? It's not like I'm just thinking about the Kyle Tucker thing from last year. I'm thinking about how the Kyle Tucker thing and the Yordan Alvarez thing are very similar. They compound, and now this Alvarez thing is happening at the same time as the Stroud thing. So it's both who the people are and the timing of the issue. I think it's hard not to separate it, even if it's not 100% logical.
Yeah.
Because they don't really have anything to do with right. each other. But we the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we care about we care about both teams. We care yeah. about both players. And so, yeah, no, I think it's hard to ignore or separate.
Just like you and the cheating ex might not be the same
right.
situations, but that girlfriend, she's the same yeah. person that dealt with those scenarios, and she's yeah, holding
girl.
You accountable.
And it's like, you the one with the type. Don't blame me because you got a type. You know what I mean?
That's so, right.
Yeah,
that's right. Throw it back at him. Hey, CJ did not throw again today. We played D'Amico's comments, dodged some questions about what the offseason's been like for CJ Stroud. How does it make you feel about your Texans quarterback? 713-572-4610 to engage with the show. He's B. Scott. I'm Luke Morrow. We're in for the fellas today here on The Drive. He was out at OTAs today. We got plenty to get to.